no increase. But you will not get the fever or the tossing or the turning or the real infection. And I think sometimes as Christians, we're a lot like that. We've almost kind of been inoculated and not infected. And so we never take it maybe as seriously as we should. Right? I know I've been that way in my past. And to some degree in my present here in the last couple of years. I mean, you know, we wish Jesus well. You know, we hope he wins. We'll even do something for him, provided it's reasonable and doesn't, you know, upset our schedule or our lives too much. But there is no burning enthusiasm that people will notice, no burning enthusiasm that changes lives. And when you get to that point, you know what you're in danger of becoming? You're in danger of becoming the whatever Church of Christ. Whatever. You remember when you first became a child of God? Remember that? When you first came up out of that water, a new person, a new life? Did you have a whatever faith? Or did you have a whatever it takes faith? Funny thing about baptism, it's the only time that water can actually start a fire. But for many people in our brotherhood, and maybe for some right even here at Florence Boulevard, maybe the fire's gone out. Maybe it's been out for a long time. So how do you get from, you know, a whatever Christian back to a whatever it takes Christian? So lukewarmness is the symptom, all right? But it's self-sufficiency that is the disease. And really what the church needed, as we read there, was a wake-up call. And the courage to admit that, you know, they were nothing without Jesus Christ. You know, it's kind of like an AA meeting, you know. I think the first step is to say out loud that you're weak and you're powerless and that you can't do it by yourself. You know, and you've got to be able to say that to Jesus, whether you're an addict or whether you're just a whatever Christian. And we're all that way every once in a while. And so maybe we need to say it. And I'll say, hey, my name is Greg. I'm a sinner. Hello, Greg. Because that's who we are. And we have to be able to admit that. And until we do, then we are powerless, because we are powerless without God. The selfishness of apathy and the arrogance of self-sufficiency are not twins, but they are more than just cousins. Because there's not a lot of genetic difference between I can do it all by myself without anyone, and you know what? It is all about me. Then to break out of that apathy, to break out of lukewarmness, you got to unload the arrogance. And Jesus told them to turn to him and stop trying to do it by yourself. Now let me give you a few quick things as we close in on the end of this lesson, okay? That you can do if you think maybe, boy, I've been struggling with being a lukewarm Christian. All right, and this I think will help you. So, and take it personally, okay, because I am. Number one, you got to pray like Satan is after you, and I'm not sure that we do that. And I'm not sure that we realize that. Oh, we believe in Satan. We know he's out there. We know he's working. We know he's out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But let me tell you, he knows who you are. He knows who you are, and he knows you by name, and he wants to have at you just as soon as he possibly can. And you got to keep that in mind every single day. Because you know what? The devil never takes a day off. And prayer is your daily declaration of a dependence on God that you sorely need to do. And I'm afraid that maybe sometimes we don't pray enough like we should. I think there are congregations out there that don't pray as much as a congregation as they should. I've been a part of congregations who have much more announcement time than they do in prayer to God. We need to be careful of that. We desperately need to be careful of that. We need to pray in the morning and pray as we go throughout the day. Doesn't have to be a long prayer, but we do have to pray without ceasing. And understand that there's a very clever being that's after our souls, and he wants it desperately. And to have any success, we've got to declare our dependence on God. And then another thing I want to share with you real quick too is that you want to make sure that you train with people who are serious about the Lord's church. I think we've got some coaches in here. I think Jamie's a coach. Maybe some other people have coached in here before. Ask any coach, you know, how much or how good a player would be if they refused to practice with the team. And yet there's a lot of people, and maybe this is a Sunday morning point that needs to be made, but there are a lot of people who don't practice as much with the team as they should. And you know what I'm talking about. You got to be here, and not just here on a Sunday morning or here on a Sunday night, but you got to be here on a Wednesday night, and you got to be a part of activities and a part of functions. You got to make sure that you're with the team and that you're training and that you're practicing with the team. You got to be here. That's the way you cultivate enthusiasm and zeal and passion and fervor. And you know what? When you're around people who are passionate and fervent, I like hanging around Mike because he's got the fervor that I look for. He's the reason why I decided to work with Room in the End, because he has such a passion about it. You know what? That's contagious. That's contagious. Ever been to a basketball game with two teams, neither of which you really rooted for? And you were standing there in the middle of that, now I would never do that with Auburn, but I might do it with, say, Vanderbilt or somebody. And I've actually done that. I've stood in the crowd of a contingent of Vanderbilt fans, and they start, you know, cheering and roaring. And Gail and I went to a football game, sitting in the middle of them, and we were actually started cheering because it's contagious. Because if I surround myself with people who are on fire, then a spark might just land on me too. It's contagious. No wonder the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25, consider one another, provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembly together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You can't do it by yourself. And then number three, and I think this is critical, start focusing on others instead of ourselves. Because it's not about us. Man, there's nothing less inspiring than living your life for yourself. Nothing cools your passion faster than just taking care of number one. You know, if you want to get out of the whatever mentality and move into the whatever it takes mentality, then you've got to be able to move beyond yourself. You know, earlier I mentioned, you know, Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 about being zealous and fervent. And one verse earlier in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, in love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another in honor. Listen to this part because it's incredible. Preferring one another. Preferring one another. Then he said in verse 11 and 12, be diligent and slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, steadfast in prayer. Prayer, train, and let it be about other people. And that'll keep you in the fire. And it'll keep you on fire. See, here's what I learned from 28 years of preaching, okay? And elders, take note. Cody, take note. You can't do anything with lukewarm Christians. You just can't. With non-Christians, you know, with those who never come into contact with the gospel, who never have, you know, so they are cold. You can work with them. You can study with them and pray with them and help them to grow. And with those who are on fire for the Lord, you know, as we like to say, with those individuals who are hot, man, they were a joy to work with. Just a joy. They were the things that just made preaching wonderful, you know. Encouraging and serving, and they're the people that, you know, that make preaching a blessing. And they're in every congregation. And when you leave as a preacher, you just kind of want to pack them up, put them in a box, you know, put some air holes in it, and take them with you wherever you go. But those who are lukewarm, you just can't do anything with them. Except to watch them walk in the door, and then out the door, and then in the door, and then out the door, and then maybe not see him for a while, and in the door and out the door. Sunday mornings only, of course. And we don't want to be those kind of Christians. And we are baptized into Jesus Christ. And you know what? We want to stay there. We don't want to get in and be spewed out, right? Be vomited out. We want to be baptized into Christ, and we want to stay in Jesus Christ. See, here's the thing, and this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the lesson. You don't want to make Jesus sick. You want to do everything that you possibly can to make him smile. You want to make him smile tonight? If you're not a child of God, become a child of God. You want to make him smile tonight? There's sin in your life? Make it right. If it's public, do it public. If it's private, do it private. You want to make him smile tonight? If there's somebody in your life that you need to go to and reach out to, somebody that you should have approached years ago and said, you know what, you're not living your life like you should. You need to become a child of God. You need to put this up, this up, this up. You need to start doing this right here. I'm telling you, that's how you want Jesus to respond. You don't want to make him sick. You want to make him smile. And he's ready to do that. He's ready to do that. If you're ready to do that, and if you are, we're here to help you. Please come.